Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go. Hi again, Richview. Glad that you're joining us. I'm looking forward to diving into the scriptures together. So let's get into this. You know, there has been more unrest in the past calendar year than I remember experiencing in my entire life. Is anyone else sensing that? Tensions are terribly high. Hatred, racism, destruction, they're all alive and well. We often think that as a human race, we're getting closer and closer to some kind of ideal, some kind of moral progress. We often think that the human race as a whole is getting better. And perhaps we have made some progress collectively, but I think that there's still a lot more to be done ahead of us than what's been done behind us. How should we respond to a world in turmoil? What is God's plan as a church, as individuals, to combat the evil that is planted in every human heart? Because we've got to admit, evil isn't something that's just out there, someone else's problem. No, when we look into our own hearts, we see evil. It's not that there's a handful of bad people. The evil comes from our own hearts as well. None of us are innocent of hatred in our hearts. None of us are immune to prejudice of one kind or another. So how do we combat this? How do we defeat the evil that is found in every human heart? Jesus' answer is that we need new hearts. We need Jesus filling and leading our hearts. In other words, we need Jesus. We need his life in us. The Apostle Paul, a follower and messenger of Jesus, wrote these words. And these words are comprise another verse that is very well known and is very challenging and is what we will be diving into this morning. It's Galatians 2:20, which says this: I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The first thing I want to say about Galatians 2:20 is that it's easy to read this passage and immediately think that this is only something to strive for, not something that could become a reality in my life. Maybe a pastor can say this with confidence. Maybe someone who's been a Christian a really, really long time. But not me. Maybe I'll get to that point someday, but right now, I'm not there. And really, who expects me to be there anyway? I mean, it seems pretty serious. I have been crucified with Christ. I'm not sure I'm there yet. So given that's how I've often looked at passages like this, and given that I'm sure many of you are feeling the same way, I need to make clear that we are reading something that isn't meant to be super special, spiritual, next level faith. This is faith. And I don't want you to miss this. We must ponder this question. Can I, in truth, say the words of Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do I know that this is a reality in my life? But before we can decide that, we need to unearth what this verse means, and then we will think about whether or not we can, in truth, say these words. The first phrase says this, I have been crucified with Christ. The Apostle Paul says this. And when I read that, I think, no, Paul, that's not the case. You weren't crucified with Christ. You probably weren't even there. Jesus died on a cross, that's true. He died on a cross so that the wages of sin could be paid for all who will believe and trust and follow him. And there were two who were crucified with Christ. There was one on his left and one on his right who were both put up on crosses. But neither of them were you, Paul. So whatever Paul is saying, it's not literal. Paul says he has been crucified with Christ. What does he mean? Why does he think that this will be a helpful thing to say? It's not the easiest thing to get our heads around, but once you do, once you see it, you'll see why Paul speaks in this way, and you'll see the cross with beautiful new clarity. When Paul says he has been crucified with Christ, he is explaining this spiritual reality. When Jesus was crucified, get this, he wasn't crucified alone. I'm not talking about the criminals on his left and right. Jesus was not the only thing hanging on Jesus' cross. In Jesus was the sin of all those who will believe. Sins past, present, and future are in Christ being crucified, being killed, being paid for on the cross for all those who will come to faith. That sin is canceled. Now that's true, and that's already glorious, but that's not the whole picture. Jesus didn't go to the cross just for sin, as if sin was some spiritual force that could exist all on its own. No, sin can only come from beings, from people, like you and me. There is no such thing as sin without a person. A rock can't sin. A volcano can't sin. It can cause damage, it can't sin. A lion can't sin. It can hunt down prey, but it can't sin. Only persons are able to sin. Angels and demons can apparently sin, and people too. Jesus went on that cross not just for sin, but for my sin, your sin, our personal sin. So when we come to Jesus and believe in his name for forgiveness, what we recognize is, not only am I filled with sin, but I am a sinner. And if Jesus has come to defeat sin, Jesus has really come to defeat me. When Jesus goes up on that cross, he is not there just to defeat sin, but to defeat, wait for it, sinners themselves. This is an astonishing revelation. Not just sin, but sinners are crucified on that cross. You see that? Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Not just my sin, but me, my sinful self. We need to see that. Not only do we sin, but we ourselves are sinners. And this sinner was up there with Jesus, killed with Jesus, and dead. The cross is the place where my sinful self dies. When the nails pierced through Jesus' hands and Jesus was bearing my sin, those nails were pierced through my hands, my sinner's hands. My old self, the one that loved sin, the one that rejected God. That self is dead on that cross. Jesus defeated him. Not just the sin I commit, but the committer of sin. I've taken to saying something like this over the years. When Jesus died, he took our sin down with him. True, wonderful, glorious. And yet according to this verse, Paul would amend that and say, When Jesus died, he took us down with him. There is no way to be born again without experiencing this death first. Now, you might think that's a pretty strange theory, but you know what? I don't buy it. I mean, this is just one verse after all. So let's see if there are other scriptures that teach the same thing. Galatians 5:24, for example, says this: "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Romans 6:6 says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." In other words, the cross crucifies the old self. If the old you has dominion over your thoughts, your belief, your actions, your patterns, your behaviors, if your old self is still living and dominating and enslaving you to a life characterized by ungodliness and sin and hatred, racism, destruction, and that former self has not been crucified with Christ, then perhaps you have missed what the cross accomplishes. Perhaps we only believe in a cross that calls us to live without recognizing that the cross first calls us to die. We die to sin. We die to the belief that we can be our own God, following our own hearts. And we recognize God himself as God, and that we need his heart. Without this understanding of the cross, what Paul says next makes no sense. He says, "And I no longer live." Again, you might say to Paul, "Paul, you're right here. You're living just fine." And Paul would reply, "Yes, the new life is here. The born again life is here. But the old life, the old me, the me I was born as, that me is not here. That me no longer lives. That me that denied Jesus, that persecuted the church like Paul did, that put Christians in chains, that trusted in his own goodness for a right standing before God, that old Paul is rotting. That me isn't coming back. And whenever that old me tries to crawl up from the grave to pull me in, I can say, 'You're dead, old Paul. Jesus dealt with you. Your power is defeated. Jesus is victorious, and I am victorious with him.'" Yes, Paul would say that. And those who are believers in Christ can do that very same thing when our old selves try to creep back into our lives. So the cross means we die. The old sinful self dies. And now we ask the question, who then takes up residence in me? If the old self dies but life keeps going, who takes up the empty space? Paul says, "And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." You see, when Jesus died, our old self died with him. But when Jesus rose, our new self rises with him. Our old self died with Christ on the cross. Jesus did away with the body of sin and burned the corpse. And then on the third day, Jesus rises again. But even more than that, he rises in us. So the believer can truly say with Paul, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." This is the fact of the new birth. This is the reality of being a born-again Christian. This is what it means to know Jesus, to know his forgiveness, to know conversion. This is all that wrapped up together. We no longer live. Our old selves are dead, and Jesus himself lives in us. Jesus reigns in us. His very life is lived in us. He was resurrected literally, yes, and also he is resurrected in our very selves. Romans 8:10 says the same thing. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit, that's Christ's Spirit, gives you life because of righteousness. Jesus lives in us. Our old sinful self dies, the new spiritual self lives. Jesus crucifies our old self and takes up residence in the new. I no longer live, Jesus lives in me. This is exactly what baptism pictures. When we go into the water in baptism, it symbolizes the death that Christ calls us to. And when we are brought back out, it symbolizes the new life that Jesus lives in us. Baptism is declaring this very verse. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This is not meant to be secret spiritual knowledge. This is meant to be the baseline reality of all who come to know Christ. The one who is ruling in the believer's body is Christ. And if there are any would-be rulers who would challenge Jesus for supremacy in your body, then we need to challenge them. That's no longer you. That's no longer me. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. So what difference does Jesus make in your life? I mean, if this is true, if Jesus crucified your former self and fills you with himself, changing you from the inside out from a doomed sinner following our own hearts into a child of God following his heart, then what kind of, that kind of change shows up. That kind of change would be hard to hide. That kind of change isn't meant to be speculative or hopeful, but real in your life, in your heart, right now, today. The verse continues, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Paul says, I still live, or rather, God lives in me. And now I am no longer ruled by sin, but by faith in Christ. My ruler is Christ. My faith is in him. He lives in me. He gives me strength, but more than that, he is my strength. He gives me courage, but more than that, he is my courage. He gives me a new heart, but more than that, he gives me his heart. What a transformation. What room is there for hatred in your heart when Christ is there? How do you live your life? What motivates your actions? Who is at the helm? If your answer is something other than Jesus, then who is it in you that is in competition with Christ? Identify it. On a day-to-day basis, who wins the battle for your will? Who wins when you're about to get into another argument with your spouse? Who wins when feelings of hatred rise in you? Who wins when you're on the verge of whatever sin or struggle or whatever sins you struggle with? Who wins? If Jesus has taken residence in you, let it be Jesus every time. It's a struggle. But we must remember that Christ is in us, working in us, helping us, giving us strength. He is in us. There is a part of ourselves, our old self, that will resist Jesus' residence and reign in us. Our old self will try to convince us that allowing Jesus full reign in our lives is just not a good idea. This is how we'd naturally feel if we were, you know, going to give our car keys to a stranger. Will they scratch the paint? Will they fill up the tank? Or will they crash it into the first median they see? It's a natural reaction. So we look at Paul's words here and Jesus' claim on our lives and think, do I really want Jesus taking over like that? Do I really want to hand my life, my motivations, my goals, my future, my very self over to Jesus? Do I really want Jesus living in me? And many of us will think, well, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not convinced Jesus will give me the things that I'm after. I don't think Jesus will give me the life I want. I don't think Jesus has my best interests in mind. I think Jesus might just crash the car. Well, it's true. Jesus is not going to give you what your old self wanted. So if the old self rules in you, Jesus will not be what you want. But the new self, the resurrected self, the self that is risen with Christ and that is committed to killing sin for a greater joy, that self recognizes Christ. That self finds its full satisfaction in Him. The final phrase of the verse says this: I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The new self knows that the true lover of my soul, the true giver of all that I need, the true treasure, the true hope of life is Jesus. And this Jesus, the only one worth living for, is the one who died for my sake so that the new self could live. And so that old self that would ruin me in the end would die. Jesus gave Himself for me. He did so on the cross. He gave His life so that my sin-ruled self would be crucified. But more than that, He gave me His life again as He takes residence in me, rules me, changes my affections, changes my heart, and changes my life. Jesus gave His life, and then He gave me His life. So the question this verse poses for us is this, and this is a life-changing question: who lives in you? Who rules? Who reigns? Who is Lord in you? Is it you? Or is it Christ? How can you tell? The old self will try to convince you to follow Christ conditionally. The old self will try to convince you that your particular sinful hang-ups are harmless. The old self will try to convince you that there's always time to repent later. The old self will try to convince you that Jesus only asks us for, you know, a little devotion from us, a little prayer, a little church attendance, but certainly not reign over our entire lives. The new self, saved by Christ, reborn in Jesus' image, will say, Jesus, whatever you want from me, you will have, and I am blessed to give it. Because you are the lover of my soul, and you are the giver of life, today and forever. Oh, how I want you to experience this truth. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Heavenly Father, would you help us to recognize this truth? For all those who believe in Christ, would you remind us that the old self, it's gone. It's defeated. It need not win a single victory more. And the new self, filled with desires that come from you, is here. Help us, Lord, to follow you in our new selves and to deny our old selves again and again. Lord, this is our hope for this world. Not that we would be, better refined in our good living, but that we would be radically transformed by your Spirit. Lord, this is our hope. Change us, God. Bring more people to know you so that they will be changed. And so all manner of sin that we've run into the past would be defeated in us. God, help us. Help us when it's tough. Help us when we struggle. Help us to persevere. We need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.